The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way. And that's with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts and help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations, and their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription at babbel.com/bluewire. That's 60% off at babbel.com/bluewire, spelled BABBEL.com/bluewire. Rules and restrictions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, BronxPinstripes.com proudly brings to you the most exciting Yankees podcast in the world, George's Box.
Welcome back to George's Box. I'm JJ.
I'm Nick.
It's a good day to be a Yankee fan. We're recording this at about 4:30 on Wednesday. We're a little late. My wife's been out of town. I've been doing two kids on my own. It's my fault. But, I mean, as of right now, we just won 7 in a row. So I don't give a fuck about anything in the world.
Schedules are crazy right now, but this team is just too fucking good not to record this week. I put up my do not disturb on Slack here, middle of the workday, just because I had to spit some game about the Yankees, man. We are on fucking fire. We are on pace for 117 wins. Aaron Judge is on pace for 63 bombs. People say we're negative or whatever. I'm here to be positive today. Everything is awesome. There's nothing to complain about right now.
The Yankees have 15 losses. The next closest is 20.
I feel like last year we had 15 losses like by the end of April.
In like 12 games.
Yeah.
Listen, it's a good team. I know people are getting hung up on the like on pace for 117 wins. Like, whatever. I could deal with 105 wins. Like, go 12 games. Lose 12 more games off the pace because like you rest guys or whatever later.
Absolutely. And the reason this year feels different than other years, it's not just because Judge is on pace for 63 bombs. It's not just because we're flirting with perfect games every night. You look at all the years we failed, right? 18, 19, 20, 21, whatever. We never had the best record in baseball, any of those years.
No.
17, it was Houston. 18, it was the Red Sox. 19, I think it was Houston again. But, you know, we've never had this. So if we can, I know it's a long way to go, but if we can finish, you know, the regular season with the best record in the American League, to me, that is a huge difference over these other failed years that we had.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's a good measuring stick for it. You know, if you have the best record in baseball, you're a good team. I agree.
Yeah.
but yeah, I mean, I just like, I like the fight that we're seeing out of them. You know, you never feel like we're out of a game. You know, obviously, we've lost a couple games throughout the year where it's been, you know, we've lost by 5 runs or whatever. And you're just like, yeah, you know, that game was over. But if it's like 3 or less runs, like we're in this game, no matter where it is in the lineup and what inning
absolutely.
It is.
You feel like they can win every night. I mean, last night, I think they made 4 errors. I mean, they played like shit and they won 10-4. So it's like even when we play like shit, we're winning. And last year, there were a lot of brutal games. Like we'd be down to the last strike and we get walked off. Or that Philly game, DJ ties it, 3-run homer in the 9th, and then we lose. Like we had so many of these gut-wrenching losses. I feel like we haven't really had any tough losses this year at all, really.
Maybe we have, but it doesn't stand out, which is like a big difference, you know, especially for someone who's like borderline Yankee autistic like you, who's just like who can randomly be like, no, but in 2012, like we lost this game, you know, none of them stand out. That's a good sign.
Yeah, no, it is. It's been so much fun. Friday night, I went to the game. I know we're almost a week away, but I had to talk about this.
Yeah.
Friday night with Garrett Cole on the mound, a 13-0 win. That is exactly how you draw it up. Sometimes if you're playing a great team, it's fun to have a walk-off or a tight game. But when you're going up to the stadium on a Friday night against a shit team and Cole's on the mound, you want to win 13-0. It was an absolute party. The crowd was absolutely rocking. They hit 5 home runs. So much fun. I forgot how much fun it
was. Did you go home on Friday night, or did you like crash at your buddies?
So the game ended at 9:45. We went out to the bars for like an hour and a half, maybe. I eventually got the 12:15 train coming back, so I came home.
So you got a Friday night, skip out of work early, 13-0. The vibes are immaculate. Quick game, 2 hour, 45-minute game.
Perfect weather.
Beautiful weather. Can hang out for an hour, hour and a half after the game, and still make it home and not, you know, be like, I'm not getting home till 1 something in the morning. Like, you don't care at that point.
Yeah, no, I didn't care at all. I think I rolled up around 2 o'clock. I went to bed. I woke up at 10 and was ready to start the day and had a nice Saturday. It's time to draw it up, baby.
That's what I was thinking while I was watching that game too. I was like, man, I can't imagine how drunk I'd be if I were there. You know, if it was just like, hey, I don't have to drive, you know, and like, it's over.
And you know this, once it gets to be 6, 7, 8, 0, you kind of stop paying attention.
You're just talking. You're having a good time. You're chatting it up with whoever you're there with. You're making friends in the section. You're trying to sell a bobblehead. You got business transactions to do. So I know you eventually sold the bobblehead, but not in the game.
No, man, it was weird. So we get in there, we get it, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be easy. Cause you know, I get to the games pretty early. So I knew that I figured there would be people coming in that didn't have a chance to get it, but there was no market for it inside the game. And you know, I'm walking out of the game, I've kind of accepted that, look, I'll just keep this. You know, it's not like I
couldn't believe you still had it.
It was surprising. And then we're just sitting on the subway, and there was a group of like, I guess college kids that were pretty fucked up. They were pretty drunk. I'd say like 19, 20, probably weren't even 21. And one of them kind of stumbles up to me and goes, how much do you want for that? And I, to be honest, looking back, I probably could have said like $50. And I just said 25, and he handed me a 20 and a 5, and I handed him the bobblehead, and he immediately like unwraps it and starts like bobbling it, like, or whatever.
Totally ruined any kind of collector thing.
Kid was totally an idiot.
That bobblehead did not make it to where that person lives.
Oh, there's no way. There's
like
no
that
way.
Bobblehead belongs to the streets.
They were going back to Murray Hill or something, you know, something like that. Like, for sure.
He threw it at a wall in Mercury Bar or like some. I don't know the bars anymore if they're still the same. But
now, if Cole had thrown a perfect game, I would have held on to it.
Yeah, if Cole threw a perfect game, you might still be at the stadium.
You're right, dude. It felt like
I'm never leaving.
It was the bottom of the sixth where DJ, he made like a sick play up the middle, and that was the last out that Cole got. And at that moment, the place went nuts, because they say every perfect game you get a sick defensive play.
You need one.
Like late in the game. Yeah, and then the next batter hit a single. But no, he was on. It was nice to go and see him and just have him be on. Like, we always make the joke of, oh, I didn't have the best stuff, but I battled. Like, it was nice to just see him have the stuff.
Yeah. No, I mean, the pitching, we've all seen all the graphics that last time through the rotation before Tyone gave up 4 earned runs like a piece of shit.
Fuck.
No, I mean, it's been amazing pitching. You know, Matt Blake, just, you can have a date with my wife, like, whatever, you know? he's been getting it done. The offense has, you know, awoken, you know, the way that we've wanted to. I think, you know, Rizzo was slumping for a while. He's kind of breaking out of that in a powerful way, which has been nice. I went to the game Sunday, and that all started from like one dude tweeting, complaining about the start time. Someone quote tweeting it, me seeing it, quote tweeting it, and being like, you know what? This makes sense. I should go to this game and bring my kids. And so I brought my kids to their first game. And it was a walk-off that they didn't see, but it was a walk-off.
Yeah, everybody was bitching about that. And I don't have Peacock. I just drove, and I accidentally tagged the wrong bar, but I went to the Green Parrot in Newtown, and they have, you know, I sat down at the bar. I said, I know this is a long shot, but do you have the Peacock app up there? And he was like, oh, yeah, we got it. And he just put it right on.
What do you have Fios internet?
Yeah, we have Fios, and I think at this point I have every single like streaming app.
Oh yeah, I mean, I would have Peacock anyway because it has WWE on it to get all the pay-per-views. But yeah, I have Comcast for my internet, and they just were like, "Hey, you get Peacock," because they're just trying to get their numbers up.
Oh, because it's a Comcast thing, dude. And the team's doing so well. I'm not going to complain. Like, obviously, it sucks when the games are on Apple or Prime or whatever the fuck. But we're 40-15. Like, I'm not going to cry about that shit.
Yeah, I mean, people were like, I can't believe it's starting at 11:30. If you're not awake at 11:30, I don't. You had a good time the night before. Like, what do you want me to do? I do less cocaine. I don't know what to tell
Literally.
You. Literally. Yeah, just do a little less cocaine. And also, like, someone's like, it's so tough to get to that. I mean, I came from South Jersey, but also, you don't have to go to every game. Like, you don't have to
81.
Go.
There's 81 yeah. home games, guys.
Yeah, just don't go to that game. It's very simple. There's a lot. They play 162 games. You miss one every once in a while. It is annoying that they have, you know, the billion fucking apps
it is.
That you
no,
need
it is.
To watch yep. the game. If they just came out with their own, and I think like in Boston, Nesson is coming out with their own app that I think is going to have like the Red Sox, Bruins, some TV show with Carrabbas, like all shit like that. It's going to be like $30 a month. People are complaining. But like if the Yankees had like a $10 a month app, it'd be a no-brainer.
100%. And it's funny, like for us, like we both have MLB TV, and at this point that only gets us what 60-70% of the games where we have the package, but it really isn't the full package.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have Apple TV. I've missed the Apple games. I can even like activate.
So you didn't see Friday?
No, I didn't.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say, because the game I was at was an Apple game, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I didn't, because I was just like, but first of all, the game, like, we had a good lead by the time it was like, I forget even what I had going on. Something with kids. I got fucking kids. And then I was just like, and I get the clips, and it just looks so, like, the game looks bad. The announcing looks awful.
Oh, and I'm not. The announcing's awful.
I'm not going to sign up for a service that I don't want to listen to a radio broadcast that I don't want to hear.
That's fair. I think they don't have – I know there's no more Peacock games on the schedule at least through August, and I think the same with Apple. But just staying on the same topic of non-baseball, one of the reasons I'm really enjoying this season is the games have been quicker. So there have been 25 games this year that have ended under 3 hours. I don't have this in front of me, but last year I'd say maybe we had like five of those the entire year, and it's because of PitchCom. Which has been awesome.
Yeah, the games are moving much faster, which has been great. I think the league has tried to do a lot of things to speed the game up, none of which have been, we'll have shorter commercials or less commercials or make a little less money. You know, they kind of, it was like, it was an issue that they were pretty much like thoughts and prayering, like thoughts and prayers to the long games. But PitchCom seems to be doing it. And like, I'm enjoying like the turnaround of getting these games in, even the game on Sunday, like it wasn't a long game. It's just we hadn't had to do a diaper change yet, and I was like, we're on borrowed time. We left at the end of the eighth inning, got in the car, listened to the walk-off over the GW. My kids were both asleep before we hit New Jersey.
So you saw us tie it, because we tied it in the
yes.
eighth, right?
Yeah, yeah, we tied it.
So yeah, it's not like you left when we were losing.
No, we tied it, and yeah. I was just like, listen, at this point, for the ninth inning, I either have to, my wife and I have to switch off going and changing two diapers, or we could go to the car, do it in the car, and like I tipped the guy so I could park right next to the exit. Mm-hmm. I was out of there in no time.
Nice. Yeah, no, and that was a game, like, we didn't have to, the perfect thing, it's like, did we necessarily need that game? No, but it's fucking great that we won it. Like, they're just winning every day, man. It's so much fun.
That's the other thing, like, I was there, I was like, yeah, we lose this game, we won the series, it's not the end of the world, you know, but came back and won it. And now my two children, their first game was a walk-off, my first ever game was a walk-off.
What was your first – what year was that, like 94,
April,
95?
April 16th, 1985.
85?
My dad brought me to opening day the year I was born.
Wow, that's awesome.
We walked off against the White Sox.
That's incredible. My first game was I just remember Clemens pitched against the then Devil Rays the year he won the Cy Young. It was like 2001, I think.
Yeah, when I was a kid, we'd go. Yeah, I probably get to 5-6 games a year as a kid. We had a connection for like free tickets, so
nice.
Yeah, we'd be there. Plus, it was like, I don't know. I mean, you could sit on the field for like $10. So there were just like, living in the Bronx, there were just tickets that are just like about town.
And when you started going, that was before Jay-Z made the Yankee hat more famous than a Yankee can. Like, we were not the global. No. Like, I don't think Yankee Stadium was the place to be in 1992 like it is today.
No. I remember, like, the Yankees being fucking terrible. Like, I remember 92, 93, Danny Tartable, Pog Day. Like, just not good. Not a good time at all. Place being empty. Everyone being angry, but like, it was the coolest place that I had been.
Oh, of course. And it's funny because all those, whenever you see like a Don Mattingly highlight, it's always an empty, always an empty stadium because it's like the late 80s, early 90s or whatever.
Yeah, no, I mean, the place would be dead. And you could just go, you know, you could walk up and buy a ticket. My dad had one of those passes to get like two tickets because of the connection we had. Mm-hmm. My dad got thrown out of the same game twice for smoking weed.
You told me, yeah.
So
yeah,
and that, you can and just get out
the left field escalator,
yeah,
right?
Imagine just being able, one, getting thrown out of the stadium, and then just being able to walk around to just be like, oh, okay, I'll have another ticket. Like, you walking right. up to, just imagine walking up to a ticket window today.
Yeah, no, I don't even know why they still have them, because everything is mobile. I guess if you need to do an exchange. Like, if your game gets rained out and you don't have, like, a ticket rep and you don't have a plan, I think the only way they let you do that is physically going in person. They make it hard.
I don't know. I was looking for – I didn't look very hard. I know you used to be able to take, like, your digital ticket and get a physical ticket. Like, I was going to do that for my kids because they got – we got, like, the first game certificate. But I was just like, it's – I'm on borrowed time here.
Yeah.
You know? You're just happy to be there. You know,
going up to that game that early. Like, you don't have a lot of time.
Yeah, I got, you know, someone asked me, like, oh, but you left early. Like, one of my friends, like, gave me a hard time. Like, you left early and they walked it off. And I was just like, I will take 8 innings instead of 0 innings. And I'm going, you know, I'll be there Saturday. A night game against the Cubs. I'm going to be hammer drunk.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Great, great segue, great transition. I'm so fired up for Saturday night. Dave is picking me up, I think, around like 2:33. So I'm about, you know, 90 minutes from the stadium. I'll be at Billy's by, I would think, 4:30.
All right. I've got a 2 o'clock boozy brunch reservation. So that's 90 minutes of margaritas. So just going to pump some tequila in me and then get up there. I'll probably get to Billy's about the same time.
Dude, it's going to be great. And you, I'm guessing you don't have seats yet.
No. Game's not till Saturday.
I'll be in 307, so maybe I'll
probably be in the 100 section for free. I mean,
probably. But I'm not willing to let it ride. I need that aisle seat. I need to know I'm going to be on the aisle.
The team hooked me up. Like, thank you so much to the Yankees for my girl's first game. They gave me I only needed 2 tickets, me and my wife. They gave me 6 tickets. I brought Tiana and Andrea, my cousin, her husband. We were in the shade. They put me right in the shade. And then driving up there, I get an alert from my phone. They sent me 3 more tickets in section 120 that I never even went to, because they were just like, so you have access to like inside areas if you want.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like, yeah, no, really took care of me. And I can tell you right now, the ticket sales for Saturday are not great. Like, they're shockingly low. So that's why I may have tickets.
Okay. I don't know. When I was looking a couple of weeks ago, it looks like it was filling up a bit. It's not sold out.
No.
I'm surprised, because we don't get many.
You don't get many Cubs Saturday night. No. You know, that's a destination. You know, like, if you're a Cubs fan who lives somewhere else, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of Cubs fans who fly in.
I would think so too. And they seem like they travel.
Yeah, and New York during the summer is dead. You can get hotels fairly cheap.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a great time. And the nice thing is, like, you know, in years past, like, let's say you're going to a game in 2018, 2019, you know, maybe we have 2 good starting pitchers and 3 shitty ones. And it's very, you know, it's like, who am I going to get when I go? Now, I think we're getting Montgomery, and it's like, I don't really care. Obviously, I want Cole every time, but yeah, they're all amazing. Like, either it's almost a win. Was that 5 wins?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just... Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. My wife was with me on Sunday, but Saturday, sans kids, first time at a game, not pregnant since 2018.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Last time she was there was 2019, and so yeah. Game 5 ALCS, and pregnant as fuck. And
yes.
And now, like, we're, you know, so she's very. I think she's gonna get too drunk.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. Like, good for her. Like, I'm going to keep an eye. I'm going to try to pace myself a little bit. I like to think that I'm not going to do any shots. I know I'm wrong, but I like to think that.
Yeah, you'll do at least 1 Jameson shot.
Yeah, because you're going to walk in and be like, shots Jameson. I'm like, well, twist my arm. What am I, Irish in the Bronx? I guess so.
It's going to be great. And Billy's like that. You don't get, like we say, you don't get many of those Saturday night games. You know, normally Billy's on a Saturday. It's post game. You don't get many pregame afternoons at Billy's for night games. It's going to be great, man.
Let me tell you what you're getting on a Saturday night game during the summer at Billy's. Everybody who moved to New York from like Kansas City or wherever, and they work in advertising and put arugula on their pizza, is in the Hamptons. They're out in Montauk, like, they have a shore house. So when you go on a Saturday and you get some of that crowd because it's like a 1 o'clock game and like someone hooked them up with tickets, those people are not there. They have other plans. They're doing trendy New York things. What you are going to get at Billy's on Saturday for a night game, one, you're going to see a fair amount of tribal tattoos. That's a given. You're going to see a lot of open jerseys with wife beaters. You may see a Yankee-inspired Kangol hat somewhere in the mix. And there will be a fair amount of people in jean shorts. Not like jorts where they cut them because they're like a hipster and have a mustache. I'm talking, I went and bought these Mark Echo jean shorts because they're fucking cool. And I've got Tim's on in case I have to stomp on someone. Like, that's what you are going to see.
A lot of chest hair, too, I would add.
Maybe, if they didn't wax it. But, like, it's going to be... Yeah, I mean, you're going to... Throg's Neck will be there. Country Club will be there. I mean, I've thought about reaching out to people from City Island to be like, yo, who's going to this game? Because I know you fucking animals are. But, yeah, I'll probably run into people who is just like... Yeah, we're having a time. we're having a good time.
Yeah, man, it's going to be a party. And I wanted to ask you about something quickly. So I saw a tweet that really stuck with me. It was from this kid, Max. He works at John Boy Media, I think. And he basically said that, like, in 2019, we won 103 games. We went to the ALCS, and none of the pitchers in that rotation would crack this rotation. And at first I was like, wait, that's ridiculous. But then I look back and he's right. Like, we have a rotation now in 2022 that for a 2019 that went to the ALCS and won 100 games, none of those guys would crack this rotation. Like, that's how much better we've gotten. That is crazy to me.
So 2019, CeCe was even out of the rotation. He was pitching in relief in the playoffs.
Yup, Paxton and Tanaka were eh.
Yeah, Tanaka, like, walking in off the street right now, Tanaka does not get a spot in this rotation.
No way.
You know, if you don't factor in the, like, the same reason Hicks is still playing of, like, oh, well, we got a contract.
Right, right.
Yeah, walking in off the street, he's not. Paxton's not.
It was Herman.
Herman. No. Yeah, I mean.
Seve was hurt that year.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man. I mean,
Chad,
that nuts?
Chad Green was opening multiple games.
A lot. And yeah, and then Nestor was his piggyback guy, and Nestor sucked. Like, I'm trying to think if this is the best rotation of my lifetime. I remember 2003, it was Clemens, Pettit, Mussina, El Duque, Wells, I think Contreras. Like, that was pretty damn good.
Yeah, no, we had some in the 90s where it's just like, oh, it was lights out. I mean, I've talked for years, you know, while doing this internet thing of, like, what was it like in 98? Like, what was sports radio like? And now Twitter, you've got way more people who can, you know, give their opinion, Twitter, Facebook, all that. And people are finding shit to complain about. But, like, I'm not getting mad about Hicks and Gallo. Like, I don't know, maybe they figure it out. Maybe they fall in a fucking hole. Who knows? But I don't care if we only have 15 losses.
Right. I'm not complaining about that yet. It is wild, though, when you think about, like, there are a few guys that we're getting nothing from, like zero, like those two. IKF hasn't done anything really defensively, you know, Higgy, and they're still winning all these games. I do think they're going to trade for an outfielder and a reliever. I think that's pretty safe to say at this point, but we still have, I don't know, six weeks, 2 months till the trade deadline.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I think everyone's talking about Benintendi. And we'll go around and get Benintendi. And, like, yeah, I want Benintendi because I want Carrabas to be like, fuck, Benny Biceps is in pinstripes. But, I mean, if you're going to trade Andujar, Florial, and someone else to get Benintendi, I mean, is he that much better than just letting Andujar play?
Well, that's a fair question. And I think it's bullshit that he got sent down. I mean, that's like the classic, what do you say when the coach's dad is playing shortstop? Like, that felt like that.
Yeah, just like a real, like, coach kid. And I also get Andujar asking for a trade. Yeah. I also get the Yankees not trading him. Like, if there's a trade to be made that is a good deal for the Yankees, they should trade Andujar. If there's not, he can enjoy living above a funeral home in Scranton. Like, that's the job. And I said this, I was on ESPN Syracuse on Monday, talking to the midday guys there, and I said, like, we just had a lockout. We just went through a lockout where you can negotiate anything. And what they came back with, and we started playing baseball with, is a situation where Andujar is not getting service time or whatever because he's back and forth and he's got these options. And, like, hey, that's what it is. I'm not going to worry about, like, if it's just to the players now because they've got it 5 years to complain about it.
And I'm not going to feel bad for somebody that's making $500,000-$600,000 a year either.
Yeah, I said that. So. That's also what I said. I'm not crying about a guy making $700,000 a year.
No. He's just fine. And honestly, it's perfect for us because, look, if Stanton gets hurt or whoever gets hurt, boom, he can come up in DH. You know, if Rizzo gets hurt, DJ could play first and he could DH. He's nice to have in your back pocket, literally down the road in Scranton whenever anybody gets hurt. And the guy can hit. It's really nice having him just kind of as in the stash, if you will.
And even, like, let's say we trade for Benintendi, someone still has to come off the roster. Like, we haven't traded any major league talent then.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would have to be, like, cutting Hicks or cutting Gallo.
But they're not cutting Joey Gallo. They're not cutting Aaron Hicks.
Hicks, I could see them maybe in the offseason. I think there's a chance. If Hicks finishes the season hitting 210 with one home run, three doubles, and 20 RBIs, and plays horrible defense, you don't think they'll consider DFAing him?
No. There's a 26th spot on the roster that it's hard to make a case. Like, what you would see is, you know, Marwin Gonzalez or Carpenter, or like one of those guys go, because we do have, to a certain extent, we have too many infielders. Like, Carpenter really took that, because at some point, like, I'd rather have LeCastro up.
Yeah, it is going to be a crunch. Meanwhile, Carpenter, I mean, what's he got? Four home runs already? The guy clearly loves hitting at Yankee Stadium.
He's going 30-30.
Yeah. He might actually do it. He might actually do it. And Zach Britton is, like, throwing bullpens. And
yeah, he threw his first bullpen.
Where did that come from?
He's a fucking reliever.
I thought he was going to be out for the year.
So now, no, well, he said, like, hey, maybe next year. So I think
he said maybe September.
Maybe late, yeah. So he's got to do. So he did a bullpen. Figure he probably has, like, a throwing day that's not a bullpen, just playing catch. Then another. He's probably doing, like, one bullpen a week. Or he's got to do three before he can face batters. Which is just extended spring training, like garbage 18-year-olds.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, rough timeline in my head is like an August rehab assignment.
And like a September 1st.
Yeah, or maybe earlier, but, you know, depending on how it goes, because, like, why waste bullets, as you say?
Yeah, I do say that. And the thing that scares me about Britton, I remember he had like an Achilles injury and he came back from it and he was all over the place, walking everybody, losing the zone. And it was, it takes him a while to get his feel back. And he's kind of wild already and kind of loses the zone. It's almost like Chapman. Like, he comes in and you're like, oh, is he gonna have it today? And I just, you know, I'm not getting too excited about him because I could easily see him coming back just spiking balls in the dirt. You know, fucking walking people and stuff. So I'll believe it when I see it with him.
Yeah, I mean, and it's Tommy John. So, you know, he could pop that thing again at pretty much any time.
Like, he can't be our trade deadline reliever. Like, oh, it's like an acquisition. Like, go trade for a reliever still.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, if you look at it, and if we were to keep Carpenter, the tough thing with Carpenter is he's got four home runs. Like, he hasn't touched the field yet.
No, I mean, he's only DH.
Okay. He's only DH. That's
funny. He's played that, baby.
Yeah. So it's like you can't cut Gonzalez because you need a backup shortstop.
And they don't trust Glaber. Has Glaber started a game at short this year?
Maybe early in the season.
He did in spring training, but I don't think they trust him as the backup shortstop, and that's fine because neither do I.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, he gets kind of babied. Anyway, so it's like, well, we can't put him there because it'll hurt his feelings if he does bad.
It's so true, man. So true.
So, I mean, we just wanted to hop on and do like a mini episode, talk a little bit about the week, get people excited for the weekend. If you're going to be out there, he has played two games at shortstop, not started this year.
Okay, because I don't remember.
Four innings in total.
I don't ever remember looking at a lineup. Okay, that makes sense. Yep.
Yeah, so. Like, the Yankees lineup roster is weird. There's not a ton of flexibility to make changes right now without making tough decisions. And, I mean, fine, make some tough decisions. But I also feel like they keep pushing back, like, the deadlines of when you have to, you know, construct your roster in certain ways where you can only have so many positions.
Yeah, they do. They do. They've done that a couple of times.
So... yeah, I mean, listen, hey, we're excited about the Yankees. They're in Minnesota, probably sweep this series, even if we only take two or three. Like, I've seen people say, like, if they lose one, this whole trip wasn't worth it. And it's like, well, nope, you take two or three. I'll be fine.
On the road all day.
I'll be fine. Like, yeah, against a first-place team, like a team that would be in the playoffs today, yeah, I'll take it. Every day. And then the Cubs fucking stink, and they're coming to town.
At all. Is Clint healthy?
I have no idea.
He's going to get the shit boot out of him if he is in the lineup.
I should text him. See if he wants to go to Billy's before the game.
Yeah, right. Dude, can you imagine?
Imagine he's just in there doing a shot of Jameson with us.
Because he can't blend in at all. Like, there are some, like, we always joke, like, oh, Nestor, like, Jay Hap, like, could maybe walk in and get it. Clint with that red hair, he would immediately be spotted.
Vidal Nuno on a on a speaker in Billy's eating a buffalo chicken wrap, and no one knew who the fuck he was, but he was starting the second game of a doubleheader the next day. Nobody knew who
so
he was.
So great. That's a great story.
All right, well, I got to take my kids to swim practice, so it's going to be a blast. Well, I'll see you on Saturday. We'll see everyone else on Saturday. Follow Nick on Twitter at NKirbyNYY. Follow me at JJ from the Bronx. Follow the show at George's Box Pod. And we'll see you at Billy's on Saturday, or we'll see you at the parade.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.